Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Kevin Holden in for Bart Winkler. Just taking a day. You know?
I almost forgot his name.
Did you hear me pause?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times if I say it, I'm in for you or Bill, you know. So I was telling Ryan one of the breaks a little while ago, I almost referred to this show by the name of the show that follows this one.
It's like Bill show? Fills in on every show.
Bill Michaels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like being a Mormon. Forgetting one of your wives' names.
I'm telling you, it is the best gig though, because literally I am like the little kid that comes in and destroys your house and then leaves.
Well, as our boss always says, and he puts it in a great way, our boss, Coach Parker.
Yeah. Love him.
What's that?
Love him.
He's probably still sleeping, but that's okay. He comes in late and works
so,
late.
That last comment.
No, he comes in later, but he's always like here till like 9 o'clock at night, I feel.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, he always tells the substitute guy, or his attitude on people who are coming in, hey, you know what? It's like if you go in house sit, you don't move the TV set.
Right.
You don't rearrange the furniture.
That's right.
You don't do any of that. You leave it as it is. So that when the people come back from their vacation, everything is just like it is.
Yep. No, and that's...
And that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah. So you have to, you know, you have to put my handcuff, like my hands behind my back so I don't, you know...
Rearrange the furniture.
Right. Right.
Don't rearrange the furniture,
No, it's a great idea, but it's... I'm telling you,
keep
it's
the TV where it is.
The world. I just...
Don't kick the dog.
There's a dog around here?
I wish.
Yes.
We could use a dog. As a station like mascot.
It's dirty enough usually in
no.
this station.
Yep. Harvey's got it. Yeah. Exactly.
Like we have grown men that can't take care of themselves.
Put away coffee cups.
Like, there's no chair. Michaels comes in here every day to do a show and he's like, where's my chair? I don't know what happens. Like people come in here. I'm looking at emails right now and it's not just us. Like people at Kiss FM, like nobody knows where their chairs are. I feel like there's like chairs gnomes come in here and like steal the chairs and throw them in a closet.
Here's the way we are. We host the morning show, but our other role is cleaning people in the morning.
Because
we come in here and clean up from everybody else after us, and there's coffee cups and all that, but nobody cares.
I was dusting the other day.
Are you serious?
I was sneezing back there, man. I was like, I can't put up with this anymore. I don't know how Cody did it. And I was like dusting. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm my mother.
All right, let's...
baseball.
Let's get back to the Brewers here.
Yeah, so Nick in Pewaukee has been patiently waiting here. He wants to add to the baseball conversation. Nick, welcome.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. Good to hear from you again. Yeah, as far as it's such a great and interesting topic. So, and Chuck really touched on something there as far as people don't really, I mean, winning cultures always are going to drive fan bases. So if you win, fans are going to show up. Bucks are a perfect and prime example, arena or not. But away teams are going to want to see Giannis for two reasons. One, or want to see the Bucks for two reasons. One, because they're great and in first place, and two, mainly because of Giannis, and he's the brand. But in baseball, I mean, it's such an interesting dynamic. If people go to see players, it's probably a generational player like a Mike Trout or, you know, an ace pitcher that they've heard about like a Kershaw or possibly a Greinke even on that level. But in baseball, I think the general managers have gotten so bright and so smart from the Theo Epstein's of the world back in 2004 with all the sabermetric stuff, and the owners, for the most part, I mean, it's almost going to be impossible to you're assuming they're guilty of collusion, and the probable reason is because they've smartened up just to listen to the smart guys that they hired. So for every contract, like a Justin Verlander who was complaining about it on Twitter the other day. For every contract that's a mega deal like that, one that works, you're going to find 9 to 15 that have been just terrible for mm-hmm. the teams. So teams see that and justify, well, I can get four players for a fraction of one of those contracts, and two of those guys are going to produce more than that one guy will if he's not hurt, you Darvish. I mean, there's so many examples where these contracts don't work that it's foolish to actually almost pay that at all to anyone.
Yeah, although every team, I think, especially in the NBA, you have to start with a superstar, and the Bucks haven't had that. They tried to make Michael Redd a superstar, and he just wasn't. They haven't had that superstar, but now they do. And then it's like, how does management put guys around him to make this team great? And so far they have.
Right. And that's where basketball is so different than other sports, because it is centralized around one star player. Even the Warriors, you take Steph Curry off that team. Yeah, they have a ton of talent, but their records and winning is vastly different, and they don't win NBA championships without him.
Yeah.
You take LeBron off, look at the Cavs.
Sure. Okay.
That's the best example, but...
Hey, people, and thanks for the call. You know, kids are all over wearing Warriors jerseys. I was at a sporting goods store the other day, and it was a complete Warriors area. There was more Warriors stuff in there, than Bucks stuff. Okay?
It's like the Bulls in the 90s, though.
Yeah, but with the Warriors here, flip back the calendar 10 years, and the Warriors weren't the Warriors they were now. They haven't always been like this. In fact, they were a joke of the league for so many years.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see where they are once this crew is out of there, Curry and the rest of these guys, and if Golden State can keep it up. And see if Golden State is that destination yet. Now, as far as the Bucks, they got the superstar. But it wasn't this ownership management group that drafted Giannis. It was the previous one. Okay, it was under the Cole. Now, Cole had nothing to do with it, but he was the owner of the team when they drafted Giannis. But what this current management and ownership team has done, they've kept Giannis, and they've kept some of the parts around them and moved parts in. Yeah, some of these trades didn't work, but they've built this cast around Giannis. But the main thing is they've got Giannis, and that makes a lot of people look smart. I'm not saying ownership hasn't done a great job, because they've kept this team in town and they've built this beautiful facility, but it's now up to this current ownership right here to keep this thing going. And what they've done and have turned them into the best team in the NBA is an ownership does deserve some credit, because they've in management there, because they've built this now into a destination. People want to go to Bucks games. Tickets are expensive, but this is where the Bucks are, and this is what happens when you have a great team. And ownership with the Milwaukee Brewers, management, very, very strong. And we're hoping they sustain success, and it's on the Bucks right now, management, to keep this thing going.
Yeah, the thing that's happened, too, is the arena is a part of it. There have been changes on that front, but there are cultural changes that have, for the last 3 or 4 years, sort of led you to where you are right now. You do have to have the star, and yes, there is no Bucks right now if there is no Giannis right now. But what they stopped doing when the Herb Cole era stopped was they stopped paving potholes. You remember how every offseason it was, all right, well, you need this guy, so you're going to go sign somebody right there in the middle, and you end up with a bunch of John Salmons and Drew Goodens and these guys on your, and you were just like, all they were doing was just making themselves a perpetual 8 seed, right? Culturally, they don't go that way anymore. They found a way. You have to go, top end and bottom end. So
there's some luck involved. Yeah, I mean, drafted Giannis.
Agreed.
If Giannis did not work out, this team would be in that. They would be in that category. Giannis makes a lot of people look just like Aaron Rodgers, kept some jobs up there. Giannis is doing the same thing. But to win a championship, you need more than Giannis.
And so if it was 5 years ago and Brooke Lopez became a Buck, he wouldn't be used the way he's used right now. He would not be nearly as good as he is with this team. And again, to me, that goes back to a culture, a philosophy, a culture where Brooke Lopez was a guy that fits what you want. And so instead of needing to sign someone for $8 or $10 million for a couple of years, you pay him $3 million and he's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a difference. That's a cultural thing.
When you hear about Anthony Davis even considering mentioning Milwaukee, he wouldn't even mention Milwaukee. Not even, it'd be a joke a few years ago.
You remember Todd Day?
Yes.
When he got drafted.
I was there on draft night when he got drafted in 92.
And he had that look on his face like, are you kidding?
Yeah, I got drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee?
Didn't want to come here. You didn't want to be here.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, that look of disgust to me was a generation.
Well, here's what this current ownership has done in management. They've professionalized the organization. I'm not saying it wasn't under Herb Cole, but it was kind of a mom and pop operation.
Yeah.
Okay. And the way things were going, business was done over there. Okay. But now with this ownership team, you feel like they've taken it to a different level.
Yeah.
They've professionalized this team, just like I feel Mark Athanasio has done that when he took over for the Celtics. They've professionalized and taken this team to a different level.
You know what's interesting about Athanasio too is I agree with you 100% on that. But Athanasio didn't get to the level he's at now. There was an 08 team that was created that was based on a good farm system. There was a 2011 team that was a combination of trades and a good system. Mm-hmm. But he didn't get to this point, 2018, until David Stearns got there and sat him down and said, stop signing Kyle Loesch.
Yeah.
Okay?
Matt Garza.
Stop spending $60 million on these interim starters. Let me handle pitching. Let me do it from a different philosophical standpoint.
And Athanasio had to hold his breath because you had this young guy, Stearns, coming in. It's like, what is this guy doing? He's turning my roster over. I did all these things. With Doug Melvin, because, Doug Melvin was the old school guy.
Yeah.
And this young guy, Stearns, I don't know him. I hired him. I liked him. But, man, he's doing an awful lot. And
that's a lot
of trust. Turns out, yeah. But you know what? Stearns, by the things he did, he earned the trust.
Yeah.
And I think Horst is starting to do a little of that, too.
Yes.
Some of the moves he's made.
A lot of respect for what Horst has done.
Okay, Horst did not get the GM job with a lot of fanfare.
I agree.
But by some of the things he's been doing here, now he's starting to... It's like, man, he's turning over this roster. He's went out the spinning the Mirotić thing and some impressive things that he's done.
And there is an example of coach and GM working together, right? I think the coach has the system and the philosophy, and the GM is slotting guys in for him. That's how Lopez and Mirotić, these guys, get here, and this team becomes what it is. What you are seeing here that you haven't seen in this town in a long, long time is that sort of synergy. Stearns and Athanasio and Craig Counsell with the Brewers, Horst and Budenholzer and so on with the Bucks, and that there's your difference, the cohesion.
For a first time in this city, for a first time, I'm going to say since 1982, really since 1982, where the people in this town have felt good about both teams at the same time.
Yeah.
The Brewers have the best record in the National League. The Bucks have the best record in the NBA. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
For a first time around this town, people feel good about both teams at the same time, and that's awesome.
Don't forget that Eric Name is going to talk to us at 8:35. He's going to talk some Bucks as well, and we are going to be back with more Bucks, more Brewers. Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton Athletic Studio, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bucks at the break, Brewers starting spring training, and of course we're having some fun with you here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. This is Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, Ryan Horvath, Chuck Freeman, Kevin Holden. I'm sitting in for Bart today.
Yeah, and appreciate you getting up early in the morning for us.
Yeah, man.
All right, so with the Milwaukee Bucks, we've spun a few different topics today. With the Milwaukee Bucks having this All-Star break in the All-Star game, I don't think the All-Star game is the game itself isn't a big deal, but having your guy, in this case Giannis, playing in that game, and having, just to see him last week on TNT next to LeBron on TV.
Him of tampering.
Yeah, but I mean, those two guys are picking. Our guy is picking the team. Okay,
yeah.
I still think it should be East versus West, but our guy picking the team next to LeBron, one of the greatest players of all time, was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah,
it's just everything around the All-Star game is pretty cool. The honor of being in the All-Star game is cool. The game itself, it's not basketball, but I just think it's a huge honor just to be a part of that and to be voted in and to be selected as a captain is awesome.
It lets you as
you
a
you can't
fan,
downplay that whatsoever.
No, you got that right. As a fan of the franchise, you have for many years as a Bucks fan, you would tune away at this time of year. Like it would be in the All-Star break and you just flip the switch off. Mm-hmm. Why would you watch? I mean, unless sure. you cared about, you know, all right, we want to see what LeBron does, or if you go farther back, you know, whoever the stars of that era were, but for your team, it didn't matter. Now, the All-Star weekend is a Bucks heavy weekend. Chris Middleton is in the three-point contest Saturday. Team Giannis is one of the teams in the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. It has his name on it. That's, you know, Milwaukee has become one a bit of a centerpiece in the NBA universe, and it's an unlikely story because it's always been L.A. and New York and Boston and Miami and, you know.
Yeah.
And now it's Milwaukee.
It is.
Cool.
It is. It is. It is to see that Milwaukee is a player in this.
All right, Ryan, we got
Yeah, let's go to the north side and check in with Ram. What's up, Ram?
Hi, Ram.
Hey, what's going on, Chuck?
Hey, yes. Ram.
You know, I just want to coattail on your comment about the Bucks and the Brewers, you know, and I've been born here in Milwaukee, former ball player. You play at the college level and even overseas in the military. When the Bucks was winning in the 70s, we had Wayne Embry here. And a lot of fans maybe not know Wayne Embry's history, but
first black GM.
And he played in that Celtics organization. So that Celtics tree is still in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers hiring David Stearns, even though he's a young guy, when I read his resume, he's just one of those guys that no talent.
Yeah, it's important, and you've got to have.
I mean, and he know how to pick it.
Yeah,
He had to say from the owner, he said, "All right, I'm going to give you the steering wheel. Let's see what's up." Now you see what he did in a short period of time.
Yeah, but and again, that was tough for Athanasio to do.
Yeah,
because Stearns has been an assistant GM, but he had right. never been the guy calling the shots, and this was his first time.
He was down in Houston. You see what they did down in Houston.
And, you know, Athanasio had Doug Melvin, a trusted guy for all these years, safe general manager, a decent general manager, but then also he had to hand the keys to Stearns.
Basketball is a whole different animal. We haven't had no one in that spot really since George Karl.
Yeah, Ernie Grunfeld is GM back then, though. Remember that.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, you got to have George Karl, he was an assistant coach in North Carolina under Dean Smith.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, we're talking about IQ and knowing talent. I was really upset when the Bucks picked Thon Maker over Domantas Sabonis and some of these picks they've had. Mm-hmm. And it showed that we're just going to be pretty much a mediocre team. And then we got Giannis, which was more like getting lightning in a bottle, and it turned out. But the whole – when I get upset sometimes, Chuck and David, when people try to compare the Bucks to Golden State, that's like apples and oranges.
And how do they compare them?
Well, Jerry West was a part of that.
Golden State?
And Jerry West was a part of that, turning that franchise around. And I even remember when he was talking about trading Klay Thompson, which that would have been a huge major mistake.
Well, they've almost traded Steph Curry, too.
Yeah. But it was someone saying, no, we're gonna stay the course. Now, where we're at now, I say, you know what this reminds me of, Chuck? This Bucks team reminded me of the team when Don Nelson was here and he had Marcus Johnson. They were winning Central Division titles. They went to Eastern Conference Finals a couple times, and we was like one player away. We couldn't get past Larry Bird. We couldn't get past Julius Erving. And like what you said and what both of you said, you say Giannis, who's the next guy?
Yeah. Well, I mean
when you go in the playoffs, you're going to need that next guy. Who is the next? And I just don't see it's going to be this person that's just going to step up, because we've seen enough of them so far to know.
Okay, the Bucks in the 80s, they added Bob Lanier.
Right.
An aging Bob Lanier, but a right. Bob Lanier who was still playing at an all-star level.
Right.
Now, maybe a notch below the all-star level. They made a hell of a trade trading Kent Benson to get Lanier. And Lanier helped take them to division titles. They went from a seventh or a sixth seed type team in the Western Conference at the time
right.
to one of the best teams in the West, and right. then one of the best teams in the East. But that's because they got Lanier.
Right. But I'm going to ask both of you two guys right now, the players that's out there, he went at the last trade deadline. I really thought they should have went for Wesley Matthews.
Yeah.
We still need scoring in the backcourt. Sorry to tell you.
I'll tell you what, though. Thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. I think the Mirotić move was better than all of them. I really do. I think that we're going to see. We haven't seen him yet, but Mirotić for the spacing on the court and the way Budenholzer likes to run his offense, just like Lopez fits in nicely here, although sometimes he jacks a little bit too many of threes for my liking. I think this Mirotić is going to fit in and take Ilyasova's number playing time and going to be great. And, yeah, Matthews had a nice pickup, but Mirotić was a terrific pickup.
And I think fan bases love instant value-added trades. Mm-hmm. I think it's when it's the other way around and you're working for the future, you know, that it's harder to sell a fan base on it. But in this case, I really do think Mirotić gives you something, like right now.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's the key. And this team is attempting to add this value, and they're getting there. Hey, Eric Name is going to join us here on the other side of the break. We've been talking Bucks. Maybe he can give us a little perspective on All-Star Weekend. I think he's down in Charlotte, right? Didn't we decide he's down in Charlotte?
We're going to find that out.
We'll
find that out during the
break. Why doesn't I always step in the...
Well, you would think. I mean, he covers the NBA. Maybe I would assume he's out in Charlotte, right?
I step in these rabbit holes.
See what kind of money the Athletic has, huh?
Yeah, his budget. But, you know, are they going to have 26 people from the Athletic out there covering the game?
Maybe.
So
I was
going to
say, they also have a lot of just like national NBA writers. Yeah. So we'll find out.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, other side of the break, Eric Name, Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler from the Bryan and Stratton Athletics Studio here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Kevin Holden in for Bart Winkler. Of course, Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvat. And guess who's with us on All-Star Weekend?
Namesy.
Eric Name is here from The Athletic. Eric, how's it going, man?
It's hey, Name. How are you guys?
Oh, Name, we're doing good, man. I'm looking forward to the festivities and all that. And I was telling these guys just before you came on, it's not so much the game I'm looking forward to watching. I mean, you know, because it's not really basketball, but it's the honor of having our guy, one of our players, being in it. And it's kind of a cool thing to see our guy being the team captain and picking up against LeBron like he did last Thursday. It's just everything surrounding the game, I think, is the cool part about Giannis being in this All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, I really think this year is, you know, and, you know, maybe you're not going to find a moment in the game where you're like, oh, wow, Giannis went up against this guy and they had this great defensive sequence. Like,
hold on, no. we gotta put him on a different phone.
Yeah,
let's take a break or pick him up and
let's just carry on and not have Nick call him back.
Yeah, so. Have him call him, but we need to get him on a good line because we can't do it.
I'm with you.
When nobody can understand what he's saying.
Remember back in the day when people had landlines and you could be like calls from a landline. Now everybody just rocks cell phones though.
But you know what? People's cell phones in this day of technology should be getting better. But the lines are getting worse.
Eric's back on the Great Midwest Bank hotline.
Yes. Hi, Eric.
Sorry, fellas.
There
you're
you
good,
go.
You're good.
You're not going to get a crazy defensive sequence or something like that from this game. But, you know, what I think about when I think about this All-Star game for the Bucks is, you know, just kind of the idea that at the moment the team is 43-14. So 57 games through the season. That's not the halfway point. That's, I think I did the math last night, 69.5% of the way through the season. So at the 70% way through the season, at this moment, the Bucks are the best team in the league. And they have the MVP front runner in Giannis Antetokounmpo. They have a second all-star in Chris Middleton. They maybe even should have had a third in Eric Bledsoe. Like, this, to me, is, and I don't think Bucks fans really get a ton of chance to do this, this is a moment for Bucks fans to, in some ways, bask in it. Just kind of bask in what this season has been, celebrate what this season has been, and enjoy that you have the best team in the NBA in Milwaukee, and you get to watch them every night. And I think in many ways, this can just be a celebration. And I think that's not something that Bucks fans have ever gotten to do with All-Star Break, certainly not since I've been alive. I just think that, to me, is kind of, it kind of goes with what you're saying, Chuck, but this isn't necessarily going to be about the game. It's going to be about, you know, just enjoying everything that means you have the all-star captain, another all-star, and the best team in the league.
Eric, of course, we always enjoy your work for The Athletic, and just a few minutes ago, you put up a link on your Twitter account to a story that you wrote about Giannis and Chris Middleton. I'm not going to give away a ton because I know you want to drive people to that, but seems like a very interesting story that you've written here.
Yeah, you know, as I tweeted out, like I got to start covering the team here in Milwaukee in year 3 of 6 for Giannis and Chris together. Obviously, Giannis came over as an 18-year-old rookie from Greece. Chris was in his second season after being drafted in the second round for the Pistons. And throughout this season, what I've tried to do is year 1 and 2 are my blind spot. So, you know, I've always been talking to people about it, but, you know, I've been trying to talk to those two as much as possible about year 1 and year 2 and kind of what was going on during those things. And this was a perfect time to talk about their kind of partnership because they're both in the All-Star break. But I found out they hated each other in year 1, which is, I don't think what you'd think of when you think of how good of friends those two have become now. And, you know, there's this story Giannis tells me about how, obviously everyone remembers when his parents first came over to the States and first came over, and, you know, it was a big deal that they were at the Knicks game for the first time, and he had a huge game that night in his rookie season. But he said that when they first came over, he used to show them his arms, and his arms had scratches all over them. And they're like, oh my gosh, what has happened? Who did this to you? And it was Chris. Him and Chris used to just fight and fight and fight in practice and push off each other for position and just go at each other. And his arms were full of scratches because he would fight Chris Middleton on this one specific play. And to me, it was Giannis used some profanity to tell me how he felt about Chris in those moments. So you'll want to read the story for that. But it was just kind of amazing to think that, you know, 6 years later, those two couldn't be better friends. They have these huge smiles on their faces when they talk about each other at All-Star weekend and going to an All-Star game and all this stuff. And yet year 1, those two were grinding it out for minutes on the worst team in the league and just killing each other at practice.
How has Mirotić been fitting with the team? I mean, off the court. I mean, he's on the sidelines. He looks good in a coat and a tie. Looks terrific. But how's, you know, he's been with the team a week now. And could they have played him Wednesday? And I guess part B of that question, could they have played him Wednesday? Or do they just look at him as, okay, we can give him another week off to heal his calf injury so it's not reoccurring?
I think he could have played on,
Monday.
He could have played on Friday, if I'm being totally honest.
Really? Yeah, all the way back then?
I think he's in a spot where, you know, if they seriously felt they needed Nikola Mirotić, he could have played the moment they traded for him. But that's just not how they feel right now. And I think for them, the big thing is making sure you get it 100% right. And obviously, Chuck, you've covered the sport for a long time. You know those leg injuries linger.
Yeah.
That if you try to push it back just a little bit too quick, if you try to go just a little bit too hard on those, rather than getting it fully healthy, all of a sudden in 2 weeks, something else pops up, right? So for them, I think the big thing was, hey, we're the best team in the league. We're not going to have a ton of practice time. And they literally haven't practiced since he's been on the team, Friday, Saturday, back-to-back. So they didn't practice on Sunday. Monday they had a game, and then Tuesday they did not practice. They just made their way to Indiana. So the team hasn't practiced, so all he's gotten to do is kind of shoot around and stuff like that. So I think they're going to be excited about getting him back and then, you know, actually having to practice on Wednesday before their Thursday game for the Celtics and then getting him into the mix then. So, you know, I think the injury has been of little concern to them. It's more about just making sure the injuries all the way gone, and then also getting him up to, you know, kind of getting him up to the standard that they want him to be before they try to put him in the game. So I think they're taking it slow. But as far as how he fits in, he fits in great. He's really goofy and fun, and likes to tell jokes and smiles a lot, and just kind of has a good time. So it's kind of ironic that he's replacing Thon in many ways in the rotation, and you know, as that player in a larger ecosystem, because he smiles, he's goofy, he's fun, a lot like Thon Maker.
But replacing Thon with more minutes. See, I was looking at maybe replacing Ersan as far as taking away some of Ersan's minutes.
Yeah, I my guess would be you're going to see some of DJ Wilson's minutes go down, and they've been down in the last couple games anyways, but I think his minutes will go down, and I think Ersan's minutes will go down, and you know, instead of, I mean, Mirotić will be the first big man rotation guy to come in off the bench in most games, or at least that would be my guess, is that Lopez will come out, Mirotić will come in, and that'll kind of be your first rotation in the first quarter.
You go two home games right out of the break. Boston, of course, is a great test and a big test, but there's that road trip coming up where they're going out west, and that's, to me, it's a sneaky kind of road trip, right? I mean, Sacramento's better than you'd first think, and Utah's pretty decent, and you got the Lakers in there. Like, this could be a very interesting test for the Bucks, this road trip coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sacramento, the pace that they play at, in Milwaukee, they took care of it, and it was before, I think, the Kings really found their groove this year, so that was kind of a good thing. But, yeah, that Sacramento team is fighting for a playoff spot. They play at an incredibly fast pace, and at home they're even better, obviously, than they are on the road. So that'll be a big one. The Lakers are fighting for their lives, and you know, if at some point LeBron decides that they need to get to the playoffs, you don't want to play a motivated LeBron James, and that turns into a quick back-to-back against Utah. And you look at that Utah team, they play tough defense. They did that weird thing where they had Rudy Gobert cover Giannis, so the center covered Giannis rather than the power forward. And Quinn Snyder and Mike Budenholzer know each other intimately. They understand exactly what both of them are trying to do, and that's just a spot where it always becomes kind of uncomfortable. So, I think that road test is going to be really a spot where you're going to look at this Bucks team and figure out where they are. Every single time they've had one of those this year, they've passed it with flying colors. I would assume they do it again, but in the NBA, there's just not a lot of downtime, so they're going to have to be ready to go right after the All-Star break.
All right, Names, appreciate it. Good stuff. Enjoy the break yourself, whatever coverage you have to do. Good work through the first half of the season, and we will talk to you next Friday, man.
I look forward to it. Have a good one.
All right, man.
That's Eric Name on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
All right, the cold and snow of February are here, but that doesn't mean you can't heat up in your house with fresh meat from Robert's Specialty Meats. Stop to Robert's sometime before you head home this weekend, maybe for the game on Sunday night. Robert's Specialty Meats, Paul Roberts. Man, you talk about a guy who's the commissioner. Paul Roberts is the commissioner of meats. He's got lots of options to make dinner time, go time, a destination for your family. How about putting one of those pork roasts in your oven this weekend? Like a ricey one or a legendary El Capone Italian roast, which combines several meats, cheeses, and seasonings into one awesome meal. Trim the fits your needs. I'm telling you, you want to grill out this weekend? Hey, not bad grilling out when it's 40 degrees out. Or, you know, because, you know, Freeman household, we grill out 365. It doesn't matter. No matter how much snow is on the grill or whatever, we're going out there and we're grilling out. We do it every day. There is no off days as far as grilling in our house because we got great meat from Robert's Specialty Meats in Waukesha. Now, I'll tell you what. If you want, if pork roast is not your thing, if stuffed roasts aren't your thing, how about the 30 varieties of sausages and brats? How about the hand-cut steaks? How about the marinated chicken skewers? How about the marinated burgers, the beef and brisket burger? Those are something to die for, the half-pounders. Put a couple of those on your grill this weekend. And whatever you're going to do, when you go out to Paul and say hello to Roberts and his terrific staff today, you got to get some pounds. You got to get 2 or 3, maybe 4 pounds of Roberts ribs on a stick. Boneless pork ribs, marinated in a special sauce. It is soaked right in there. Put those on your grill, a couple of minutes each side. There is not one person ever who has told me, Frames, I've tried those Roberts ribs on a stick, and they are terrible. Or, Frames, those Roberts ribs on a stick, they're not as good as you make them out. No. Everyone who I've talked to or heard this show and have heard me talking about it said, hey, you know what? You are right. When I hear you talk about those ribs on a stick, you are absolutely right. Something to die for. Try them today. But go out to Roberts Special, the Meats in Waukesha. Easy to get to. South side of Waukesha. Sunset Drive. You'll go into the strip mall there. Right across from the old Kmart. You'll see Paul at a smiling face. Usually working his ass off 24 hours a day. For the best of meats, it's Roberts Special, the Meats. Waukesha.com. Their money-saving website, Robert's Special That Meets Waukesha.com. They got a bunch of specials and money-saving coupons on there. I'm telling you, for the best in meats, it's Robert's Special That Meets, Sunset Drive, south side of Waukesha. They are your hometown butcher.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, Kevin Holden, Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath. Get you shaking your head.
No, because I said Mike's on while my mic was on. It's an old trick in the industry that you shouldn't do.
Oh, so the people heard you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's kind of fun. That's like a behind-the-scenes thing, you know? Like they like you meant to do that, right?
Yeah, I meant to do it.
Yeah, it's a picture. You're showing the people that you are bringing us in.
The first time I ever worked with Michaels, I turn on my mic for some reason, which it's his show, and I go, all right, Bill, mic's on. And he just looks at me, and we just started laughing. I go, oh, man. It got better from there, luckily.
It only goes uphill.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you know what? And here's it is. Things either go up or they go down, but they never stay the same.
That's true.
In any walk of life.
I can't argue that.
I had my high school basketball coach once told us, he says, we're either going to get better or we're going to get worse because we're not going to stay the same.
We'll not stay the same. Well, and if you're a sports fan in Milwaukee right now and you're talking just Milwaukee teams, it has gotten way better. But if you're a statewide sports fan and Packers are your life, it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
Interesting,
right? The Packers are working out of the three hole as far as our professional sports teams.
So weird.
In the state. You know, tomorrow there's no... Marquette or Wisconsin tomorrow.
Yeah.
They don't play. That's a rare Saturday where either one of those teams don't play. And which I love looking forward to watching college basketball. I know Horvey's with me on this too.
Yeah.
But especially watching, you know, our teams. Marquette and Wisconsin play on a Saturday. Like last week, you had a doubleheader. You had Michigan, Wisconsin at 11, and then Marquette and Villanova like at 1:30.
Yeah.
But you have neither one of those teams. I love getting up on a Saturday knowing that one of my college teams is playing.
What do you think about? I mean, to me, Marquette has kind of settled in as a three.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, yeah, you could do something crazy between now and then to change it, but they look settled in. They look like a team that could, I think, kind of cruise right on into the Sweet 16. But what about Wisconsin? How do you feel about where they are right now?
Okay, but back quickly on Marquette. When you say cruise into the Sweet 16, you're talking roll the ball out there? There's a margin of error for those guys, too.
Well, and I imagine what you're saying is, you know, if you get someone that's...
They could get popped in the first round.
If Howard is, you know, if Howard has an off night and then you question the whole point guard position, I mean, there are some things, right?
I mean, they've been beaten twice by St. John's. Okay, so
I just don't... There's no 14 that's going to do something to a three. Not that... Three.
Hey, I who knows?
Yeah, I guess
you get it. You get a in the NCAA tournament. I've seen so many of these games, man, where you get a bad stretch, and before you know it, San Diego State bites you, or Stephen Austin bites you.
Look at Virginia last year.
Oh, well, goodness. Yeah. I have a UMBC hoodie because of that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's we don't want that to happen.
It's
because when what happens if you're the three seed and 14 picks you off, and that's the only upset of the day. So all people are talking about for the next 24 hours, the new Cinderella, and Marquette was the team that let that team slide into the second round.
And that hangs on you. It's a cloud that sort of hangs over your program for the times to come. But I still, my more curious question has to do with the Badgers, because the Badgers, to me, have not – the paint hasn't dried for them yet. They have – it's eight losses, right?
Yeah. They've lost two in a row. Their best player can't shoot free throws. I don't see them going far in the tournament because their margin of error, is very small. If they don't do if Hap, now Hap was talking yesterday that he was hitting his free throws in practice. I don't care what you do at practice or at the Kohl Center. I want to see it when there's 18,000 people around you and when your free throws are off to the right or off to the left or strong. That's not helping me out at all. So
my curious question, I think that we don't have the questions answered yet about the Badgers, and we're about to, because their schedule from here is they host Illinois, which you mentioned early next week, at Northwestern, a bottom dweller in the conference, at Indiana, who lost seven games in a row in January. Indiana did.
But also beat Marquette this year.
They did beat Marquette. And then they host Penn State. So to me, if that's a team worthy of a five, let's just say that. Mm-hmm. Let's use that as the baseline. If they're worthy of a five, they sweep those four games. They have to sweep those four games, don't they?
Or go 3-1.
And then
I think you have to have a strong finish in the Big Ten tournament too.
And they have, and their last two regular season games are at home against Iowa and at Ohio State, and those are two tough games.
They are. And again, Wisconsin's not good enough to overlook anybody.
Yeah,
I mean, for Marquette really isn't either, but Wisconsin especially. We've seen them lose at home to Purdue. We've seen them lose at home to Minnesota this year. So they're not good enough to just roll out the ball against anybody.
Are they? So you would call them a vulnerable five, maybe?
Yeah.
I think they're the same thing.
To me, they're about a five.
Yeah.
And I could see them getting bumped out a 12 versus five.
One of those trendy 12-5 picks where around the country you'll have a chunk of people that'll pick whatever 12 seed they're facing.
And, I think the question, around town among, the guys I know and all that, you talk college basketball around the city here, who's going to go further in the tournament, Marquette or Wisconsin? My first answer is Marquette.
Yeah.
Marquette.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yes, but I could also see both teams losing in the first round or losing early.
Oh, my goodness.
I could see them, if you told me now neither team is going to make the Sweet 16, I'd say, that wouldn't surprise me.
That's something. I can definitely see, like you say, Wisconsin run into some trouble as a five or a six first round or maybe even second round.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like somebody's going to the Sweet 16. Maybe there's a little bit of hope in there because that has something to do with my day job.
Well, I think if Marquette does not win a tournament game, if they bust out in the first round, I think there's going to be some serious questions on Wojo. I think the Heat will start getting – it's not on yet, but it's going to be like, okay, Wojo's been on the program since 2014. And
they haven't won a tournament game.
Have not won a tournament game. Lost 2 years ago to that South Carolina team that went to the Final Four.
Right.
Okay, but they got drubbed in that game.
Yeah.
So you got to not only make it to the NCAA tournament and tournament appearances. Marquette fan wants that and alumni want that, but they want to see some wins.
Well, especially because what happened right before Wojo got there was really significant. They were an Elite Eight team in 13. They were a Sweet 16 team the 2 years before that.
Yeah. Under Buzz.
And were it not for Isaiah Thomas, they'd have won a game in 2010. Remember, Isaiah Thomas beat him at the buzzer, Washington.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That was first round, right?
Yep. Yeah. It was in San Jose.
Yeah.
That was my first spring here. And I was actually covering the Badgers. That was the one tournament I covered.
You had dark hair back then.
Yes, I did.
You did.
I had dark hair.
You weren't in San Jose, were you?
No, we had a news reporter there, and I was with the Badgers in Jacksonville.
Okay.
And that was the only tournament I've covered here. I've not covered one since because we kind of learned that I was better back here as sort of a point, there's a lot of stuff to handle.
Yeah.
And that we learned that that's a better role for me.
Well, Wisconsin and Marquette, they're both headed to the tournament, but yep. I would say, Marquette, I don't think they can hurt them because I think they're going to win the games they should win down the stretch here. Do you have Marquette's schedule right there? I know they got Villanova coming up.
I can pull it up pretty quick.
If you got that, just pull it up real quick.
But
pull up Wisconsin. Let's get a quick rundown of Marquette.
Yeah, that's easy to do. But the interesting thing was seeing that Wisconsin schedule with those next four games.
Yeah.
That should be easy, right?
But hey, conference play.
Marquette's got a bunch of road games. Is the problem? They got Villanova on the road on February 27th at 8:00. They
have
Providence on the road.
But they got to play Penn State. Michigan just went to Penn State and got beat.
Are you talking about Wisconsin?
Who?
You.
Yeah, no, because you were talking about, you just said about Wisconsin having
an
easy schedule, and I said, they got Penn State. Wisconsin just,
Michigan
just got Michigan. Picked off by Penn State at home. So what does Marquette have again? Give me that rundown again.
They got Villanova coming up at home, which is huge. That's a big prime
at
time game.
At Villanova. Okay, that'll be at the Wachovia Center.
And then they're at Providence, which is February 23rd, and that's an 11 a.m. tip.
Okay, that's a tough one that they should win because it's a road game.
Let's see what they got. They got one before that. I can't remember.
Butler. Butler's a home game.
Yep, Butler. That's their last home game, I believe. And then they're on the road for, four or five straight.
So they go at home against Butler, then they're at Providence, at Villanova, then they host Creighton. Then they're at Seton Hall, and then they come back and host Georgetown to finish it out.
Oh, okay.
So it's
not easy.
That's not easy.
It's
right.
It's not easy
but
at all.
I still – here's the thing. 4-2 for the Badgers in their last six would make me feel better. Like, would answer questions for me about the Badgers. 4-2 for Marquette in their last six wouldn't answer anything for me. They are what they are for me right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I feel like it's just the conference that they play in, too. While I'm not so high on the Big Ten as I was in the beginning of the season, I find it kind of to be a little bit overrated. It's like any night, any of these teams could get picked out. There's tons of parity. I thought Michigan was one of the top teams in the country. Now they can't score. They can't knock down shots. Yep. The problem with Wisconsin is look at that system, right? For a team like Wisconsin without a true superstar, and you could say Ethan Happ's a superstar, but let's be honest, he's not a NBA quality player. No, he's not right. A Zion Williamson or an RJ Barrett.
He's not going to make it in the NBA.
Right. So for
not
a
shooting
team,
35% from the line.
And that's the thing, Chuck. I was texting Chuck the other night. I'm like, how you've been shooting free throws your entire life? I get you're a big man, but like, how are you not at least hitting 65% of your free throws?
Exactly.
And the second thing is, like, you look at that Wisconsin team, they have stupid turnovers in the last 4 minutes of the game. They fall asleep defensively. They can't knock down shots. Like, I'm fine with them not having, like, a five-star athlete on the team that could go out and get them 30 every single night, like, if Trice struggles and whatnot. But then, like, play within your system, don't make mistakes, knock down free throws, do, like, the little intangible things that a team like Wisconsin has to do to move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they did some stupid things at the end of this game on Monday night. When Davison tried taking his guy off the dribble,
yeah,
I was like, uh-oh.
And that's what I mean. This
is not going to end well.
You could do that because then down the stretch, you could go to a guy, or, you know, if you're Duke, you could go to Williamson or RJ Barrett, you know, if you have a superstar player. But, yeah. I mean, Happ can't do it all on his own. We've seen that.
No.
If they double him, guys need to knock down shots. Nobody's doing that.
And when they hacked him like they did the other night, he missed two free throws. And those are just killers. Not only killers on the scoreboard, but just killers to the momentum of your team. Your star players at the free throw line, you can't knock out a free throw. It's so deflating. You could just see it in the body language. It's just so deflating to the whole arena. He's at the free throw line in the Kohl Center. You could tell they're just uneasy, and he'll put up a free throw, miss it, and they're just like, oh.
I know.
There's frustrations.
From the era from a few years ago when it was Decker and Kaminsky, but then when someone gets hurt and Bronson Koenig becomes a guy, I mean, that feels like 100 years ago now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right. We're talking basketball. We're talking baseball. We're just generally having fun, really, honestly. Freeman, Holden, Horvat, this is Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.